Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Surreal Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes as we discuss week number one of the NFL season, as week number one is in the books, already getting ready for week number two in the league where no contract, of course, is guaranteed. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or hit me up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/SurrealQuinn, or of course, go to my website, SurrealGeraldQuinn.com. Before we get into the football, certainly we have a lot of games to go over and a couple of things to talk about as far as the storylines of week one. We're going to give a moment of silence to the 3,000 victims who, on this day in 2001, lost their lives tragically. Certainly, we'll never forget about New York City, Washington, D.C., and, of course, Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's every year it's definitely a tough thing to remember, a tough pill to swallow, no matter how many years go by. Now that this will be marked the 11th year of course, the 9/11 attacks. And still in recovery. Obviously, a couple of years ago, getting Bin Laden was a major, was some I'm sure it was closure for thousands upon families who lost someone dear and near to them. And certainly, we just honor the police officers and firefighters who gave and lost their lives on that horrific and just tragic day. And you know, it's one of those things, again, that you can live, you'll never forget. If you were there, if you were alive, in 2001, if you were an adult or even a small child, I'm sure it's something that will follow you for the rest of your, for the rest of your days. We kick off the show, as always, with the game of the week. Denver taking out Pittsburgh 31-19. Peyton Manning is back. Officially, he's back after four neck surgeries. Manning, 19 of 26, 253 yards, two touchdowns, ran the no-huddle offense to perfection, just lit Pittsburgh up with the no-huddle. I mean, Pittsburgh had no answers when Denver was in the no-huddle. Demaryius Thomas continues to own the Steelers. I mean, they might want to try covering this guy. At least one day, and one time they play him, they might want to try covering, trying to, maybe do some double coverage, maybe do some different things, because what they're doing is not working. Demaryius Thomas had five catches, 110 yards, a touchdown, a 71-yard touchdown reception. Manning in his career now is 7-1 against Dick LeBeau coach defenses. Dick LeBeau is a Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame coordinator. If there were two Hall of Fames, Dick LeBeau would be in both of them, as a player and as a coordinator. He's been that great over the course of his many years in the NFL as a player and, of course, as a coordinator. But Peyton Manning owns him. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to bash Pittsburgh with this loss because, you have no Ryan Clark. Again, we talked about it on Saturday. Guy's one of the most underrated players in the league at the free safety position. Covers a lot of space. covers a lot of space, makes up for a lot of mistakes on that back end of that secondary. Yeah, and of course you had, you know, former defensive player of the year back in 2008, James Harrison, who was out as well. So you take those couple, you take those two guys out, not the same defense, without question, not the same defense. But again, this was all about Denver and just Peyton Manning and his control of the offense, his control of the game. He made every throw. Every throw you had to make, he had to make, he made. And again, hopefully he can stay healthy for an entire season. The league is much better off with him. And who knows? I mean, Denver, you look at Denver, they have an excellent offensive line, good running, you know, good running game with Willis McGahee. You know, we talked about Manning. They have two premier pass rushers in Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, and a good secondary on top of it. I mean, Champ Bailey and Tracy Porter. Porter had an interception return for a touchdown, picking off Ben Roethlisberger and basically, you know, sealing the deal. Denver's an interesting team. Before the season, I was still wondering about, you know, can Peyton Manning stay healthy, all the different pieces, parts with that team. It looked, you know, I must say I was impressed with them over on Sunday against Pittsburgh. It's still a very good Pittsburgh team. So we'll see how they are certainly to me, Denver, the class of that division. I mean, I know I picked Kansas City because I was just trying to be different and thinking the division wasn't going to be any good. And I still don't think the division is going to be very good. But Denver looks like the team, you know, you got Peyton Manning playing at this level. That certainly would make them the team to beat in this division. When we return, an ugly game in Cleveland and another quarterback change down in the desert. That and much, much more on this latest edition, this season 3 premiere edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this season premiere edition of the NFL Show, season 3, amazingly, of the NFL Show. Certainly looking forward to a great season of NFL football. As we talked about on the preview show that we did last week, a lot of storylines coming into this 2012 season, and one of them was the Philadelphia Eagles, who looked anything but a Super Bowl Super Bowl contender on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Philadelphia 17, Cleveland 16. Michael Vick, 29 of 56, two touchdowns, four interceptions, 317 yards passing. I don't get Philadelphia. I don't. Even at, you know, I've been watching the Eagles for about, well, basically almost all my entire life. Grew up 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia. You know, you have the best, arguably the best running back in the world. Certainly he belongs in the discussion in LeSean McCoy. Yeah, I know Peters is out, which should give you more incentive to run because you're not able to protect your quarterback as well. 56 passes, 30 runs in a game that was close throughout. I don't get it. And Philadelphia has made a habit of doing this. Andy Reid just refuses to run the ball. I mean, LeSean McCoy had 20 carries, 110 yards. I know he fumbled earlier, but you know what? He's allowed to fumble every blue moon. It just makes no sense. I mean, if I'm an Eagles fan, and I'm not, I'm just scratching my head. I witnessed this last year. It really came out last year. I mean, Andy Reid has never liked to run the football, but you know, I had LeSean McCoy on a fantasy team last year. I'm like, okay, he had 18 carries and 115 yards. I'm like, why shouldn't he be getting more touches? It just made sense to me, but yet they refused to give him the ball for whatever reason. I don't get it. Brandon Wheaton didn't look much better. Well, he's actually worse than Michael Vick. 12 of 35, four interceptions. I mean, 118 yards. Welcome to the NFL. The 44-year-old quarterback just, you know, didn't get it done. Eagle pass rush was all over him throughout the course of the game. Bad news for the Browns, as if it could get any worse. Cleveland had a rough weekend, even with the whole Modell thing, which I'll get to later on the program. They lose Pro Bowl caliber cornerback Joe Hayden, who's a very good player and has Pro Bowl talent, all Pro caliber talent, to be honest with you. Four games, of course, using a PED, violating the substance abuse policy. Four games, and he's going to go on all Mac four games. And Cleveland is the worst team in the league. I mean, they're just awful. They're awful. They certainly will be in the hunt for the Matt Barkley sweepstakes without question. I don't know what they're doing. In Cleveland, to be honest with you, I don't know what Holmgren's doing. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, they waste two first round draft picks on a guy who's probably going to be retired in 2 years, Brandon Wheaton, and then they draft Trent Richardson, who's already hurt. Okay, he already came into the NFL limping with the number five pick. So, you know, Cleveland put in a LeBron James tape or something from 2007, whatever. I feel sorry for Cleveland. The Indians stink. It's just not a good sports town right now. Arizona over Seattle, 20-16. John Skelton got knocked out of this game behind that atrocious offensive line. So they could be playing musical quarterbacks. They're going to be playing musical quarterbacks this season, without question. Kevin Cobb comes in, 6-8, 66 yards and a touchdown. Russell Wilson was average, to say the least, 18 of 34, 153, a touchdown, and a pick. Marshawn Lynch, who I wasn't sure about whether or not he was going to play, did have 21 carries for 85 yards. This is the first piece of controversy as far as the officiating goes for the regular season. Officials gave Seattle an extra timeout during their last drive on a Doug Baldwin injury. Now, here's what happened. Doug Baldwin gets injured. Seattle should have been forced to use their third timeout. Injury is an automatic timeout that you have to use, injury timeout. And that was it. But yet, as the drive continued, they were given another timeout. And I don't see how they didn't get this right. And this is what drives me crazy about these replacement officials. This could have cost Arizona the game easily. Easily. And I don't see how you can get so – Mike Pereira of Fox was all over it. He's like, no, they're wrong. Pereira, who hates the replacement officials anyway, was, you know, again, was on top of this entire situation. Injury time, anybody knows that. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out, that when a player gets injured, that team has to use an injury timeout, no matter how serious the injury or if the player gets up. No, that's automatic. No matter, it's an automatic timeout that has to be used, period. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And then they had a four-minute delay to not get the call right. Like, you got the call wrong. And not knowing it just to start out with, and then you have 4 or 5 minutes to still not figure it out. Like, how can you not figure that out and be an official? But that's right, they're not real officials. So, just please get the real officials. I mean, the NFL is going to get burnt here. As long as these officials stay out, they're going to get one of these replacement officials is going to cost one of these, a team, somebody a job, a coach a job, a team a couple of games. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's too many close calls. There's too many highly competitive games, games that I play. It's going to happen without question. So Arizona able to get the win. Seattle. Both these teams are similar. They have very good defenses. Very good defenses and question marks at the quarterback position. I like Russell Wilson, of course, better than Scott Norcott, but still, he's a rookie, still has a lot to learn, what they do with Matt Flynn. So it'll be very interesting to watch both these teams over the course of the season. When we return, sparks fly in Kansas City and a near upset down in Detroit. We'll talk about that and so much more in this latest edition of the NFL show. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the NFL show, 18 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, as we go through week one of the NFL season, already thinking about week two and some of the upcoming matchups. Atlanta all over Kansas City, 40-24. Big day for Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and company. Matt Ryan, 23-31, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, also had a touchdown, a rushing touchdown. So big day for him. Julio Jones, who everybody expected to be great this year, and he certainly did not disappoint in week one. 6 catches, 108 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jamaal Charles of Kansas City coming off the knee injury, had a decent day, 16 carries, 87 yards. Big story in this game, Brett Grimes, the great Atlanta quarterback, out for a season with a torn Achilles. That is a devastating, and I mean devastating, injury to already a team that's suspect defensively, and to one of the places where they actually were pretty good at, and that's in the secondary with him and of Grimes and Asante Samuel, who was new, acquired in the offseason. I mean, Kansas City is not a big time offensive team. They put up 24 points. So that is, again, that is a devastating, and I mean devastating loss for Atlanta early in the season. Detroit struggles to beat St. Louis 27-23 at home. Stafford, really a day to forget, even though he did have a game-winning touchdown pass to Kevin Smith. 32-48, 355 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. Sam Bradford, 17-25, 198 yards and a touchdown pass. Kelvin Johnson, six catches, 111 yards, but no touchdowns. So anytime, despite the fact that he went over 100 yards, anytime you keep him out of the end zone, as far as I'm concerned, you have absolutely done your job. It's an uninspiring performance by Detroit. I mean, St. Louis is a bad football team, a team that a lot of people have 2-14, 3-13. They have some nice pieces. I mean, Steven Jackson, Bradford is very good. The receivers aren't terrible with Gibson and Amendola, but you know, Larry Nice, who just got a new contract, is a very good player. But your home opener, you're supposed to win by. You're supposed to knock St. Louis around, to be honest with you. By at least 17 points. If you're a team who's looking to build off a playoff appearance, that like Detroit was last year, if you're on the upswing, and again, this is one of the reasons why I told you I was not high on Detroit going into the season, and I thought that they would take a step back, and so my partner Robert Sapp agreed with that assessment on the Lions. They just lack a lot of maturity. They lack leadership, and again, that's a game where you go and handle your business. You don't mess around with St. Louis at home. If the game was at St. Louis and they struggled, I'm like, okay, on the road, opposing crowd, week one, anything can happen. I could a little bit more excuse for it, but at home, you take care of your business and keep it moving. Carolina falls to Tampa Bay 16-10. This is all you need to know about this game. Tampa Bay had 130 yards rushing. Carolina had 10. Yes, the same Carolina. And I know Jonathan Stewart was out, but you still have Cam Newton. You still have Mike Tolbert, and you still have D'Angelo Williams. You had 10 yards rushing against Tampa Bay. I mean, how 10 yards rushing? I mean, you figure Cam Newton could fall forward and generate and get 5 yards. Embarrassing loss for Carolina. And I actually liked Carolina going into the season. I thought Carolina, I said it on the show last week, I thought Carolina, along with New Orleans, would battle it out for that second wild card, for the second wild card coming out the AFC. Again, unimpressive victory. I mean, bad loss for Carolina. And I know Tampa Bay has a running back. Freeman's due for a bounce back year, and Doug Martin's is a very good backup rookie. But that you just don't. I mean, you can't lose that game if you're Carolina. That's all there is to it. Cam Newton, 23-33, 303 yards passing, touchdown, two interceptions, but 10 yards rushing. Coming into the season, when we were previewing. Going by division, I thought that Carolina could have a chance to be the best running team in the league, right there with Chicago and Houston. And I really thought Carolina, their rushing attack was going to be that lethal. I mean, now again, Jonathan Stewart, very good player, certainly hurt, but 10 yards rushing, he's not that good. He's not Walter Payton there. So we'll see how Carolina recovers from that. Tampa Bay trying to bounce back from just an awful season. Gets off to a good start with a opening day victory. 347-215-6180 is your call number. NFL Show, week season 3, week 1. When we return, a new addition to the NFL Show. I'll let you know what it is when we get back. This is the NFL Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour, now 27 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. Time flies when you're having fun on this season 3 premiere edition of the NFL Show. And another season premiere tonight for my Sons of Artists, my Sons of Anarchy fans. And I'm a big one. That comes on 10 o'clock tonight. So that is going to be, it's going to be great to watch. Jax taking over the reins. As the man, similar to what Marlo did in The Wire, with Clay still living, it's gonna be a good season. Sons of Anarchy. So I'm looking forward to that tonight at 10 o'clock. I'm doing an hour and a half show, so I had to cut this show short so I can watch that. No, I'm just kidding. This was only gonna be an hour anyway. I wouldn't do that to you. My audience wouldn't. Come on, Sons of Anarchy NFL show. So Breaking Bad. Gone for at least for the rest of this year, and what an ending that had. I mean, Walt being found out by Hank as being Heisenberg, and those last 8 episodes can't come quick enough, as far as I'm concerned. That's going to be some of the best television you'll ever see with that show. But for now, you're going to have to deal with Sons of Anarchy, because of course we'll be coming on tonight. I'm bringing a new segment to the show that I've been doing for the last couple of years on Facebook at the culmination of every NFL week. And, of course, is top 5 quarterbacks. Now, listen, it's not the top 5 quarterbacks. Don't expect to hear, Rodgers, Brady, Manning every week. How this works is I gauge the weekly performance of the quarterback. If your team loses, you are not on the list. So you could throw for 500 yards, 6 touchdowns. If your team loses that game, then, you don't exist to me. So that's how it works. Keeps it interesting. And we'll have some fun with it before. So we'll kick it off this season with number 1, Peyton Manning. To me, going against one of the tougher defenses would probably, over the last decade, the best defense in the league. Or the course of the last decade, the Pittsburgh Steelers, though they're not what they once were, but still very good. 19 of 26, 253 yards, 2 touchdowns, proving that he indeed is back and ready to start again for the Denver Broncos. Number 2, Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, needs to do it in the postseason, but in terms of the regular season, he should have a tremendous year. 23 of 31, 299. Accounted for 4 touchdowns, 3 in the air and 1 on the ground. Joe Flacco, of course. Flacco, I don't think a lot of people realize this, that Flacco in his first four full seasons. Has won more games than any quarterback in NFL history. 21 of 29, 299 yards, two touchdowns, no picks against a pretty good Cincinnati defense, and as Baltimore had their way. Number four, Alex Smith. Oh, I never thought that name would come up. I mean, he made an appearance last season, but I never thought he would make another appearance on the top of my top five quarterbacks, so I have to give him his due. He was 20 of 26, 211 yards, and two touchdowns, outplayed a guy who I think is the best in the world right now, Aaron Rodgers. So Alex Smith continues to play close and near that level. San Francisco is scary, flat out scary, without question. And number five, you can call it bias if you want, just look at the numbers. RG3, Robert Griffin III, 19 of 26, 320 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. And as we stand here on September 11th, 2012, the number one rated quarterback in the league with a quarterback rating of 139.9. It is only 1 week, but what a performance by RG3. We'll get into that more over the course of the show. He was just outstanding. And out of all the rookies, the only one that really played well, let me be honest with you, Andrew Luck, all the rookies struggled. Weeden and Tannehill would just look like they needed to be back in college and not starting at all. But it was a great game by RG3 as he did what he did down in New Orleans. When we return, who says the Jets can't score? And Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler plays catch with Brandon Marshall. That and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Contract is guaranteed. 347-215-6180 is your call number. The NFL show poll question of the night: which team was the most impressive in week one? You can either go with Denver, what they did, New England, or of course the San Francisco 49ers. The New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, 48-28 over the hapless Buffalo Bills. And I mean, Buffalo goes out there and spends the gross national product on defense, and they give up 48 points to a team that struggled to score a touchdown in preseason. I did not get this. This is one of the more shocking games, as far as I'm concerned, of the season, of the opening week. I mean, Mark Sanchez goes out there, 19-27, 266, three touchdowns. Fitzpatrick was awful. How long he keep his job remains to be seen. C.J. Spiller was the one bright spot. 14 carries, 169 yards, and a touchdown. No sacks for the Buffalo Bills. This game was not even as close as the score indicated. It was 41-7 in the third quarter. The Jets took their foot off the gas and allowed the Buffalo to get some fantasy points and yardage, and made the score look a lot better than a lot closer than again what the game actually was. This was the Jets game all the way from start to finish. I'm still not sold about the Jets offense. I mean, I'll tell you that right here, right now. I don't know what really to make of this game. Is Buffalo, I mean, you know, you give the Jets credit. They did put 48 points on the board, but, it might be more of an indictment on the Bills than it is, than we should be sold on that New York Jet offense. Another team that put 40 on the board, as they were five of them this week in the NFL, a record for week one, Chicago 41, Indianapolis 21, Jay Cutler 21 35, 333 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Big day for the beast, Brandon Marshall, 9 catches, 119 yards and a touchdown, 15 targets. So he's definitely a guy that's going to break probably 100 catches over the course of the season. Forte, Michael Bush, very effective as a combination. Forte, 16 of 80, 16 carries, 80 yards, 3 catches for 40 yards. Michael Bush, 12 rushes, 12 carries for 42 yards and 2 touchdowns. We'll get back to 2 touchdowns. It's a very interesting story coming out of Chicago in regards to that. Andrew Luck, a rough opening day debut as a rookie, 23 of 45, 309 yards, a touchdown, and then 3 interceptions. You know, he's a rookie. He's still a rookie. As great as he's going to be, doesn't have much around him, even though Reggie Wayne had a big day. Doesn't have much of a running game. Offensive line's not the greatest. He's going to take his hits. There's no two ways about it, but again, you still want him. You're building a team. You still want him you still want him starting in your franchise without question. Getting back to the Michael Bush's 2 touchdowns, apparently Forte is not happy with being taken out on goal line and goal line situations. It happened, you know, when Marion Barber was with the team last year. And trust me, I know, because I had Forte on a fantasy team last year, and he only scored 3 touchdowns the entire year. It's going to happen this year. I mean, Michael Bush is much better than Marion Barber is. Michael Bush is a legit starting running back. Forte is going to get a lot of touches. He was targeted 6 times. He got 16 carries. But, you know, Michael Bush has a nose for the end zone. I mean, Michael Bush took touchdowns away from Darren McFadden. So this is nothing new. This is what Michael Bush does. Michael Bush will score anywhere from 10 to 12 touchdowns over the course, if not more than that, probably 10 to 12 touchdowns this season. It's going to go without saying. So it's something that, you know, Forte, better finish your runs. You know, you get an 80-yard run, better finish it. You get tackled at the 2 or 3-yard line, you're coming out. That's all it is to it. It's not going to change, especially with the team winning. And this is one of the best run combinations in the NFL right now. And Forte needs to pipe down and just roll with it. You got your contract, so there's really nothing. He needs to shut up. Really nothing for him to complain about at this point. Nothing. There's going to be no incentives with those touchdowns. So, very interesting to see how that plays out. New England dominates Tennessee 34-13, a very balanced attack from the New England Patriots, contrary to what we saw at the beginning of last season when they just threw the ball seemingly like 80 times a game. Brady, 23-31, 2 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Stephen Ridley, 21 carries, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Check this run, and I hope the Eagles are listening. Andrew Reed's listening. Check this run to pass. Check this runs versus passes. 31 passes, 35 runs. I mean, that's how you do it. With the rookie running back, not with LeSean McCoy. With the rookie running back. Jake Lockett was knocked out this game. Before he's knocked out, he's playing okay. I mean, 23-32, 229, touchdown and interception. Matt Hasselbeck was very ineffective, and that's being kind. Big story out of this game is Wes Welker. Wes Welker had 3 catches for 14 yards, was targeted 5 times. So you had Brandon Lloyd, Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski all targeted more than Wes Welker. Wes Welker, since he got to the Patriots in 2007, that year where they almost went undefeated, has caught more passes than any player in any receiver in the league. I mean, for his five seasons in New England, he's been over 100 catches. Now he gets only targeted only five times. Again, a combination of the personnel that they brought in, the emergence of the tight ends, and don't forget the contract situation that's still ongoing. So, you know, the Patriots are a very tricky organization, and they weed you out. Yeah, you know, again, it's only one game. We'll see what happens in the next couple games, but I'm nervous. I have one of my fantasy teams. I'll be a little bit nervous about Welker and what his production is going to be for the 2012 season. Chris Johnson, 11 carries, 4 yards. That's just terrible if you're a fan of the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, I mean, New England's defense is much improved in the front seven, but they're not the 2000 Ravens here. I mean, you should be able to get more yards off 11 carries than more yards off only 11 carries than 4. I mean, that's just, you know, he might as well not have played. When we return, a statement in Lambeau and a new era in the nation's capital. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition, Season 3 premiere of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, on Blog Talk Radio as we go through Week 1 of the NFL season. Washington shocking the New Orleans Saints 40-32, and it was all about RG3, 19-26, 320 yards passing, 42 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Dominated the game basically from start to finish. And this was a Redskin game from the Pierre Garçon 88-yard touchdown throughout. You never got a sense after that play that the Saints were going to win this game. Despite 12 penalties for 127 yards, the Redskins were in complete control of this game. They held the Saints to just 32 yards rushing. Breeze did have 339 yards passing, but needed 52 pass attempts to reach that number. You hold the Saints to 25 points. They had the punt return for a touchdown right before the half. That was the only thing that just basically annoyed you if you're a Redskins fan. That was it. Otherwise, it was a performance that you can't ask for a better performance out of the Redskins, to be honest with you. You were going to the Hornets Nest, a team that had been as dominant as any team in recent memory at home as far as scoring. I mean, I gave you the number on Saturday. They came in averaging, last year, they averaged 41 points a game at home. You hold them to 25. Redskins, 153 yards rushing on 44 carries. Alfred Morris, 28 for 96, 2 touchdowns. Pierre Garçon, before he left with the foot injury, had a game's worth of numbers, production in terms of 4 catches, 109 yards. Redskins did whatever they wanted to do offensively. I mean, they did whatever they wanted to do. They controlled the clock. They controlled this game. Breeze, they kept Breeze off balance. This was a very impressive performance out of the Washington Redskins, and you can't ask for a better debut than what RG3 put up. You know, his calm, his poise, total control of the offense, and the guy, let's be honest, he has a rocket for an arm. I mean, the guy, just a flick of the wrist, he's making throws that just, you know, you're going to have to defend the entire field if you have defense. When was the last time you said that about a Redskins quarterback? You have to defend the entire field. So, you know, the Redskins play their cards right with Mike Shanahan. There's no question that they have something special down in D.C. Very interesting to see what the Redskins do next week in a classic trap game versus the St. Louis Rams. But this one, this game in New Orleans was all about RG3. And again, let's be fair. New Orleans' defense is you know, drugstore cotton soft. I mean, their defense is awful. Now, even with Vilma back, their defense is horrible. So New Orleans is going to be in a lot of shootouts. A lot of shootouts. When we return, a statement made at Lambeau Field, and I'll give you a couple things that I took away from a opening week of NFL action. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show, I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, Blog Talk Radio. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. San Francisco controlling Green, all over Green Bay, 30-22. San Francisco really made a statement with this game. They were up as much as 16 at 23-7. They were in total control of this game, even when the game was close in the first half. Of course, the big moment in this game that really turned everything in San Francisco's favor was the 63-yard field goal made by David Akers to end the first half. A field goal that really shouldn't even been, he shouldn't have been in a position to attempt that. Green Bay got sloppy at the end of the half with their defense, allowing San Francisco to get cross midfield. They should have been down 30, should have been 13-7. And after that, it was all San Francisco. It was just all San Francisco after that. As Green Bay just, you know, they made a late run, but again, San Francisco was in control this entire game. They had the pace. They slowed down the game. They frustrated. They mugged Green Bay's receivers. Again, all you have to know is look at the rushing stats. San Francisco, 186 yards rushing. Green Bay, 45. Frank Gore had 112 and a touchdown. Randy Moss, in his 49 debut, had a couple of catches and a touchdown and was not used a lot, but still was effective. They frustrated Aaron Rodgers. Again, Rodgers, I mentioned earlier in the program, was outplayed by Alex Smith. Rodgers on the day was 30 of 44, 303 yards, two touchdowns and an interception, but it was a hard-earned 303 yards. Listen, this, you know, the San Francisco defense is frightening, to say the least. Their defense is just, you know, they come in waves. They're not, they don't do tackling by individuals. They come in threes and fours. They just, they're relentless. And if they can get anything from Alex Smith that resembles a performance like you saw on Sunday, they can win a Super Bowl. There's no two ways about it. Because they have all the other aspects that you want in a team. They have a good offensive line. They have excellent special teams. Despite the punt return for a touchdown, which should have been, and get another just dubious mistake by the officials, was a clear block in the back that allowed Green Bay to get back in the game. Otherwise, Green Bay really only scored 7 points, to be honest with you. So, you know, they allow 14 points. They have a complete team, you know, with the running game, the defense, the special teams. So, it's all up to Alex Smith, you know, in terms of putting them over the top. He looked good. He certainly looked good in outplaying Aaron Rodgers on Sunday afternoon. Very interesting stretch for Green Bay following this loss. They got punched around. They looked soft in this game, to be honest with you. And now they have a short week to prepare for. I know, and luckily for them, it's at home against a very good Chicago team. Then they'll travel to Seattle and then home to New Orleans. That is a tough stretch to open the season. I mean, before they blink, they could be 0-2. So just keep your eyes on Green Bay. I didn't like the way Green Bay played at all. I mean, I give them some credit, but I just thought that they got just pushed around physically. And their defense, you know, we looked for improvement. We looked for that defense to be better than it was last year. It looked like the same defense to me, allowing the 49ers to put 30 on the board against you. Then the 49ers were not a big-time offensive team by any stretch. Not impressive if you're a Green Bay Packer fan. Only week one, not time to push the panic button, but certainly some concerns moving forward. A couple of things that I took away from week one. Number one, of course, RG3 and Peyton Manning. You see what the pass looked like and what Peyton Manning and how good he looked on Sunday. And you see the future of the NFL without question in RG3. So both of those guys were certainly dominant in their play. The officiating, again, I mentioned this, the Seattle game was a disgrace. That call or that missed call with the fourth timeout, that can't happen. They've got to get these replacement officials out of here and the regulars back in, like immediately. And also, underachieving teams that have Super Bowl aspirations and big-time talent. Green Bay, we just mentioned, Philadelphia, and Detroit. Those are three teams that have all the talent in the world. But, you know, are they tough enough to win a Super Bowl? That remains to be seen. They certainly were not impressive in week one of this year, of this season. And two of them won the game. Two of them won their respective games, Philadelphia and Detroit. And I was not impressed with either one of those teams after week one. But, again, it is an absolute marathon, long, long season. They're anywhere from 4, 5, or 6 twists and turns in every NFL season. So keep that in mind. Even as a Redskins fan, I am a cautious optimist in regards to the season, but it's more about RG3 than it is about the Redskins wins and losses as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see what happens in week two. Again, Chicago, Green Bay, big game on Thursday night. San Francisco and Detroit, San Francisco hosting Detroit next Sunday night. We remember, of course, the Harbaugh, Jim Schwartz, that whole situation, the smack on the back, which was hilarious last year. So some good games next week. Baltimore and Philadelphia should be very interesting. That was a dominant performance by the Ravens last night. And you know what? It's funny about that game. Neither one of those games were good last night. I mean, the Raiders can't even snap the ball. And don't even get me started on how the Raiders only scored 6 points against San Diego. I'm trying to stay away from the fantasy. I'm trying to mix this show completely, but that was a disgrace. Baltimore-Cincinnati, 44-13. I thought Cincinnati would cover the spread. The spread was 7. But I was about to watch the game, and then, you know, it came to me, and this is a bad job on me, the Art Modell stuff. And when I thought about that, I was like, they have no chance. You see Ray Lewis is about to, he basically fighting tears back. No tears came across his face, but he was, you know, you could tell that he was ready to, you know, run through a wall, and he did. Ray Lewis was all over the place. Like Ray Lewis, it was like Lawrence Taylor last night. I mean, he had a sack. He had like 14 tackles. He was like last night. He was like the dude off what's the movie? Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Jefferson. Remember when they broke into Jefferson's car? But it turned out it was his brother who had made a bet. Whatever, who had made a bet and was trying to get him psyched up so he can cover the bet and they would win the game, whatever. But Forrest Whitaker was Jefferson, to tell you how long ago that was. That's what he reminded me of. Ray Lewis was a man possessed last night, and there was no denying him. Ed Reed, again, we keep saying how old they are, but yet those two guys were the dominant, along with Joe Flacco, were the three dominant figures on the field last night. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and Joe Flacco. Ed Reed had a pick six, set the all-time record for return interception yardage. And Ray Lewis was just, you know, a man amongst boys. I mean, he was just tremendous, tremendous last night. And again, it's why he's one of the greatest defensive players, not just linebackers. He's the best linebacker of this generation, the best linebacker I've seen since Lawrence Taylor, to be honest with you. But he's one of the great defensive players of all time. So his place is already marked out in Canton. I want Canton and Canton with the Hall of Fame. So is Ed Reed's. So Baltimore was very impressive last night, what they did to Cincinnati. San Diego and the Raiders, I don't know what to take from that game. The Raiders are the Raiders. They are who they are. I mean, the penalties, just the sloppiness. They can't even snap the ball. I mean, come on. Come on, Raiders. You can't even snap the ball. I don't know what to make of San Diego. I mean, Sean Phillips was dominant. Rivers was in control and efficient. You know, when Matthews comes back, if he can stay healthy, I don't know. I mean, they're still coached by North Turner. So, yeah, that's always a strike against them, as far as I'm concerned. Overall, good week one. A lot of exciting action. Of course, you had some high-scoring games with 5 teams scoring 40 points. You had the return of a all-time great in Peyton Manning, the continued greatness of one Tom Brady, and we saw what the future may look like with RG3. So, you know, the NFL is like, it doesn't stop. I mean, not one, you know, even with Peyton Manning being out last year, the NFL just keeps going. Those players replace each other, and it just, you know, it doesn't stop with the greatness of players. Please, Roger Goodell, get these officials signed. Get the officials that money and get them back on the field, please. I mean, it's going to get. You don't want the integrity of the greatest sport in the world right now to get damaged anyway. Because that Seattle Arizona thing was embarrassing. Of course, we began and we will end talking about 9/11, and again, one of the most tragic days in American and world history, for that matter. 3,000 lives lost, but through that, we're still here now. As a country, we are safer than ever. You have no Bin Laden in the mix. And again, you see somebody in the military, you see a cop, you see a fireman, you know, approach them, shake their hand, and thank them. Because they, you know, I say this all the time, these guys and women that we root for on this, you know, on the television and on the fields and the hardwood and the ice, they're not heroes, not by any. They're just people who are giving us a gift from God. The real heroes are out there risking their lives day in and day out. So, we honor and give tribute to those who lost their lives and those who risked their lives, again, on that horrific day 11 years ago today. So, certainly, we will never forget that particular day. That's going to wrap it up for this first Season 3 premiere edition of the NFL show. I will be back Saturday early Saturday morning. So long. Have a great evening.